chapter 61. I had all these scriptures ready, and then 2 minutes before service started, the Lord gave me another scripture, and I might just scrap all the scriptures I had before, and I might just go off of this verse right here. I'm going to give you my whole, let me open up in a word of prayer first. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your beautiful presence that is here. We thank you for Jesus this morning. We thank you for salvation and all that you've done within our lives and within Victory Outreach International in these last 50 years, Lord. You've given us such a precious ministry. And I pray this morning that you would set me aside. I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you open up every heart and every mind to receive your word this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. I'm going to give you my whole message in 3 words, and we might be able to go home. 3 words is all I got to say. Redeem. Somebody say redeem.
Redeem.
Say it again. Redeem.
Redeem.
Say it again. Redeem.
Redeem.
Restore.
Restore.
Say restore.
Restore.
And release.
Redeem.
Redeem. Restore.
Restore.
And release. That's my message. Let's go home. That is my message. If you look, that's all my notes I got. 3 words. Redeem, restore, and release. I want to share this morning on, as I reflect upon what God has given us in this precious ministry of Victory Outreach in these last 50 years. It's a precious ministry. It's a unique ministry. And I want to share these 3 points that characterize the ministry of Victory Outreach. From the very beginning in 1967, 50 years later until today, these 3 words still define and characterize Victory Outreach International: to redeem, to restore, and to release. And not only does it define and characterize our ministry as Victory Outreach, but it also characterizes and points to the ministry of Jesus. And ultimately, God's purpose from the beginning of time to the end of time. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, God's purpose is to redeem, restore, and release. And we see that throughout the whole Testament. We see that in the New Testament, in the ministry of Jesus. He came to redeem, restore, and release. I'm going to break it down. But even in these last days, Jesus' purpose has not changed. Can I get an amen? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He has not changed. That's why he says, David opened from Malachi. Malachi says, I am the Lord and I do not change. See, we like to change a little bit. But God don't change. His purposes remain and his purposes stand firm forever. So here in these 3 words, we realize not only what God's been doing these last 50 years in our ministry, but what God wants to continue to do within our lives and through our lives. And here, I had other scriptures but that defined each one, but here in Isaiah 61 is a portion of scripture that outlines all 3 of them. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Somebody say, it's good news. To preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. When you see Jesus come on the scene in the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 6, Jesus quotes this scripture right here. And what Jesus was saying when he quoted this scripture was he was identifying with it, and he's saying, this is about me. This is why I have come. Jesus is saying that the Lord has anointed me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Jesus came to redeem, to restore, and to release. Number one, he came to redeem. That's why in the beginning of this scripture, he says, I come to preach the good news to the poor, to send me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom. So we say freedom. For the captives and bring a release from darkness for the prisoners. How many here in this room at one time weren't free? That you were bound. Some of us were bound by physical chains. But all of us were bound by them spiritual chains of sin and bondage and under the power of the enemy. But Jesus says, no, I have come that those who were bound shall be free. Those that were lost shall be found. That's why the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. How many were lost in this place, in this room? He says, God's anointing is on me to preach the good news to the poor. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus has come and that he has saved us from our sins and he has redeemed us. I want us to look at that word redeemed. Another way to say it is redemption. Everybody heard that term before, right? Redemption or to redeem. I have a definition here. It says to be ransomed or brought back or restored by the payment of a price. To be ransomed or brought back or restored by the payment of a price. It implies being rescued, liberated, and set free. Rescued, liberated, and set free. Jesus came to redeem those that were lost. He paid a price that no one could pay. And that's why the Bible says that you are not your own. You were bought at a price. What price were we bought at, church? It's the precious blood of Jesus. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't have these. It says, in him, in who? Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. See, Jesus came to redeem those that were bound, those that were lost, those that were captive to sin. And all of us in this room were captive to sin. See, I want to preach about the blood this morning, if that's okay. I want to preach about the cross of Jesus Christ this morning, if that's okay, church. Here he says, we have redemption through his blood. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And sometimes as a church, we could take it for granted. And we just throw it around lightly and throw it around loosely like, oh, I'm just going to ask God forgiveness and he's just going to forgive me. Based on what? Oh, because God is a good God and, you know, God is merciful and yeah, he's merciful, but he's also just. Sin has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. God cannot just overlook your sin because he wants to. He can't because he is a just God and he's a holy God. Sin has to be punished. Your sin and my sin. And the problem we've had in humanity is that throughout the ages, mankind has always tried to pay for their own sins. Man and woman has always tried to redeem themselves. If I work a little bit harder, if I just, you know, be a better person, God will forgive me. God knows my heart. How many of you used that one before? God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. That's why he said to Jeremiah that your heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. You don't have a good heart. Your heart is wicked. My heart is wicked. It's deceitful. So when you say God knows my heart, God understands. Yes, God understands that you're a sinner and you're wicked and you're deceitful. It's quiet this morning. Do we still preach the truth in Victory Outreach? Okay. I'm not up here to make you feel good. I'm up here to preach the truth. Because Jesus says, if you know the truth will set you free. I'm here to bring freedom this morning. I'm here to proclaim good news this morning. Many of us try to atone for our own sin by just trying better, trying harder. God will give me another chance. And that's what you see throughout the Old Testament. You see the Israelites trying to obey God. But how many know time and time again they would fail, they would mess up, they would disobey? Because God knew that there's no way that we could redeem ourselves. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem that which could not redeem themselves. And the Bible says that he paid the price, that he shed his blood. And see, the only reason why his blood was a worthy sacrifice is because Jesus, the Bible says, was without sin. He never sinned his whole life on earth. Therefore, he was perfect. Therefore, he had no sin for himself to be judged. But he willingly, the Bible says, gave of him his life. And he shed his blood on the cross. It wasn't the Jews or the Romans that killed him. He offered himself for your life and my life. Because he's seen the misery that you were in. He's seen the misery that I was in. And he says, I know they can't redeem themselves, but I have what it takes. So I'm going to give of my life and shed my blood. That their sin, that the punishment that they deserve, I'm going to take it upon me. Because remember, our sin has to be punished. So either you got to pay for your own sin, or you let Jesus take the price. Jesus paid the price. But the only way that he takes upon your sin is as we put our faith in what he did for us. And we receive what he's did for us. And we accept that salvation that he provided for us. But if you keep trying to work it out yourself, one day you're going to have to pay for your own sin. If you don't trust the blood of Jesus to cover you, it's going to be your blood that's going to be shed. But how many know the blood of Jesus is powerful? I said the blood of Jesus is powerful. You know how great the blood of Jesus is? Think about all the sin, past, present, and future, of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth from Genesis to Revelation. Every sin that's been committed. I just think about my sins and I get overwhelmed. Let alone Brother Keith's sins over here, Brother David's sins, Frank's sins over here. Right? My sin is just overwhelming. But imagine all of us put together, and Jesus said, my blood is sufficient to cover it all, to cleanse it all, to redeem it all. Does the blood of Jesus still work today? Or is it only good for the 12 disciples 2,000 years ago? Does the blood still work? Is the blood of Jesus still sufficient to cover your sin? Is it still sufficient? So when you walk around and all of a sudden you mess up and you fail, because how many know the Bible says we all fall short? Even after we've been redeemed, we still stumble at times. Can I get an amen? We still struggle at times. And then the devil comes and he starts getting in your ear. Look what you did and all this kind of, I thought you were saved and I thought you was a Christian. Now look at what you did. And he comes with that condemnation. And you start feeling sorry for yourself. That's when you need to turn around and you tell the devil, the blood is still sufficient for me. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Yeah, I sinned. Yeah, I fell short. Yeah, I messed up. But I repent and I turn back to God and the blood still covers me. See, some of you have been struggling with the same issues for so long that you start doubting that the blood of Jesus still works. Because you try repenting and turning to God and you gave him your struggle here at the altar and you had victory for a while. But all of a sudden it came back and those same chains that Jesus set you free from, you feel are trying to grip you once again. And you repent and you come back and you repent and you come back and you start to question. And you start to wonder, oh, I got to try harder. I got to pray more. I got to believe God more. All this stuff that you got to do. No, it's nothing you got to do. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. His blood is still sufficient. I don't care what you did. His blood is sufficient to cleanse and to redeem. So when that devil comes to lying, you just tell him the blood of Jesus is sufficient for me. Blood of Jesus covers me. But you got to truly receive it. Some people walk around saying, the blood of Jesus got me. And then they're like, oh, let me get some of that. Let me get that hit right there. Oh, Father God, cleanse me in the precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the Bible calls receiving the grace of God in vain. But you know what Paul said? Paul said that the grace, I forget how it goes, but God's grace in his life was not without effect. Which means when the grace of God came upon him, It caused a changed life, a radical shift in his attitude, in his mentality, in his lifestyle. The grace of God was not without effect. It had an effect, a profound effect on Apostle Paul's life. And you see the difference. It radically changed him. So the grace of God through the blood of Jesus should bring radical change. Amen. Which means we can't keep doing the same things that we used to do and just say, I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. Hallelujah. I come to church. Send Monday through Saturday and then come to church. Amen. How many know that's just religion? And we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I plead the blood. And we're singing all these songs. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How many know? That's good news. Jesus says, I come to preach good news to the poor. Good news that they couldn't make it for themselves, but I come to make a way. They couldn't redeem themselves, but I have come to redeem them through my precious blood. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for the captives. Jesus comes to redeem. He comes to bring freedom. Isn't that what God has been doing in Victory Outreach for the last 50 years? Bringing freedom to the drug addict, to the gang member, to the prostitute, to the alcoholic, to those bound by addiction, bound by drugs. Bound by anxiety and fear and worry and depression. And Jesus comes and he brings freedom. How many know when you've been bound and you get free, that's good news. The doors are already open. They're already unlocked. Jesus, through his sacrifice, already unlocked the doors to your prison. Your spiritual prison that you might be in this morning. Or maybe someone, maybe it's not you, maybe it's someone you're thinking about, a family member, a friend, that they're still bound. They're still locked up in that spiritual prison. They're still captive to sin. But Jesus came to proclaim liberty. See, Jesus won the liberty at the cross through his blood. And now he simply proclaims it. I'm just up here. I don't bring liberty. I don't bring freedom. I'm just proclaiming that freedom is already there. The door is already open. It's like the gates of the prison are wide open, but the prisoners are still sitting in there, in their cell, and the cell doors are open. I'm just here in my prison, praying that the Lord will come and get me out of here. Lord, make a way. He already opened the doors. All you got to do is walk out. So if you think that you're still bound, that you're still in prison, the doors are open. All you got to do is walk out. All you got to do is walk out into your freedom, into your liberty by the blood of Jesus. He's given you liberty this morning. And that's good news. He's redeemed us. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Come on, Adam. Praise the Lord. Psych. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. How many live in an empty life in the past? You weren't redeemed with precious things, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. See, it wasn't money that redeemed us, and it wasn't money we need. It was the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? that redeemed us, that set us free from that empty way of life that we were living. I think Paul puts it another way, like you were slaves to sin. What benefit did you reap at that time? What was the result? Nothing good, amen. But Jesus came to redeem. Victory Outreach, this is why we exist. Victory Outreach exists to redeem those that are lost, those that are bound. And we must hold true to this value within our ministry as Victory Outreach. We can never stop seeking and saving those that are lost. Because how many know there's so many more that are hurting, so many more that are bound, so many more that need the good news. And that's why the Bible says that beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. That there's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Do you still believe that, church? Or is it just a song that we sing on Sunday mornings? Does Jesus still break chains? When Patty says, can you hear the chains falling? Do you believe that chains are actually falling? And that there's no chain, no bondage too strong that God can't break. I don't care how long you've been in addiction. I don't care how long they've been out there lost, amen. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter, amen. God is able to set them free and redeem them. And I could line up testimony after testimony in this church, sitting in this church right now, amen. You lived your whole life being bound until one day Jesus sets you free. We cannot never get away, Victory Outreach, from proclaiming the freedom that's in the name of Jesus. That he's come to redeem the lost. Amen? He's come to redeem. He's come to redeem, he's come to restore, and to release. If we go on in the scripture, in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. So Jesus has come not only to redeem, not only to save us from our sins and give us freedom from bondage and being a slave to sin, but he also comes to restore. Once we're redeemed, we still need to be restored. We have redemption, but we still need restoration. Because how many know? Nobody gets cleaned up overnight. We're forgiven of our sins, but it is a process of restoration that it takes for Jesus to get all the junk out, amen, and to give us something new, a new nature. Verse 3 says, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. See, this speaks not only of the first half speaks of redemption, speaks of Jesus came to redeem those that are captive. The second portion speaks of restoration, that Jesus comes to restore us. To restore what? See, we have to remember that it was God who created us. He created us in his image. We're not made in the image of the world. We're made in the image of God. But though we're created in God's image, how many know sin has corrupted the image of God within inside of us, marred it, so to speak. We're like that clay, but it's marred in his hands, full of defects. Or how many here are perfect? How many still got some defects? Come on, raise your hands. Don't be ashamed. We still got those defects, amen? Jesus' desire is not only to save you from sin, but his desire is also to restore you to the image of God. See, he created you and he created me to fulfill his purpose. And he created us in his image. So he comes to restore that image. He comes to restore that sense of dignity within inside of our lives. That no longer are we sitting in ashes, but he says, no, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. He says, give me those ashes here. Take a crown of beauty. The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He comes to restore your dignity. He comes to restore our sense of worth and a sense of value. That, wow, you know what? Jesus, I am somebody in God's sight. Because in a ministry like Victory Outreach, reaching the inner cities of the world, we reach a people that, through life circumstances, dignity and self-worth and value gets severely damaged. I don't know about you, but I didn't have no dignity when I was out there in the world. I wasn't thinking about, you know, that people were looking at me, and I wasn't walking around, you know, with dignity. I was walking around with shame, and everybody knew it, right? I wasn't walking around with a sense of worth inside of my life. I didn't think I was worth nothing. Why? Because that's what people told me. You ain't worth nothing. You're just a filthy drug addict. You're never going to amount to nothing. My vice principal told me that. You're just a filthy drug addict. You're always going to be a drug addict. Your dad was a drug addict. Your mom's a drug addict. You're a drug addict. And you see, when we hear that long enough, we begin to wear that garment. We begin to put it on, and all of a sudden we hear it long enough, we start believing it. We start believing that we don't have no worth and we don't have no value. That's why it's important. You got to be careful the way you talk to your kids. You got to be careful the way you talk to your children. Because your words are creating their sense of value and their sense of worth. Isn't that what happened to us? People told us we weren't nothing. And we started thinking we were nothing. So I'm just going to hit this pipe and drink this bottle and drink all my worries away because I ain't nothing anyhow. And I ain't worth nothing anyhow. And nobody cares about me. And not even God cares about me. So I'm just going to waste my life away. No dignity, no sense of worth inside of our lives. But Jesus comes to restore our dignity, belonging, and destiny. He becomes to restore our sense of worth. And that's why in Victory Outreach, after we get saved and we get redeemed, we like wearing suits to church. We like looking good. Why? Because Jesus has restored our dignity. Because we weren't always wearing suits. I don't know about you, but I wasn't wearing a suit. Amen. When I was on my way to the connection. Some of you might have been those, you know, sophisticated dope fiends out there. Rolling up in your Rolls Royce, you know, like kicking it. Hey, amen. You were so high class that you didn't even go get the dope. You sent your servant, right? But for the rest of us that weren't so dignified, we'd be crawling on our knees and... Do we get out there? What are you doing? I don't know. They're after me. Come on, how many had... You thought you had it going on out there in the world. If you only knew how other people were looking at you, like, man, what is wrong with that dude? What is wrong with that sister right there? He must got some demons or something. It's crazy. We thought we had that good walk down the street. We're walking like this, you know. But we think we're walking like this. Wearing tore up clothes, but we think we're looking like, you know, all dressed up, all nice. We come home to the family and we try to play it off. We're high out of our mind. We try to play it off. Hell, oh yeah, my day was good. Yeah, praise the Lord. Like if they don't know. But Jesus comes and he restores our dignity and our worth. That I am something today. That's why we like dressing up in Victory Outreach. We still believe in wearing ties and stuff. A lot of churches are getting away from that. You know, they're kind of just wearing jeans to church. See, we do it on purpose. Because we didn't have no dignity. Those people, they already had, you know, some dignity. We didn't have none, but Jesus restored us, so it makes us feel good. We got worth today. We got dignity today. We got beauty today instead of ashes. We got gladness instead of mourning. We got a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I want to go to another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to speak to the women for a few minutes. Are the women in the house? Where does our worth come from? It comes from God, amen. But sometimes we're looking to other things. Even in the house of God, as we're serving God, sometimes we lose sight of where our worth really is at. It is God who gives us worth and value. And it's internal, it's not external. Amen. I'm about to find the scripture. First Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. I'm going to talk to the women for a few minutes. I'll come back to you, man. It says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty. Did you catch that? Unfading beauty. How many know external beauty is fleeting, it's fading? You might be beautiful today, ladies. But one day, you're looking good this morning, ladies. You most of all, love. But one day, time shows that beauty fades. Amen. External beauty fades. That's why all the men looking for a single lady, if you're only looking for physical beauty, you're looking for something temporary, something that's going to fade, something that's not going to last. But he says here in verse 4, instead it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Where does your beauty come from? It's your inner self. You want to be worth much in God's sight? He says, get the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. which is of great worth in God's sight. Your worth doesn't come from what you look like on the outside. The clothes that you're wearing this beautiful Sunday morning, the makeup that you put on, that's not what makes you worth. That's not what makes you valuable. It's what's on the inside that matters. It's what's on the inside that counts. Because how many know some really beautiful people, but they're ugly on the inside? And there's even some ugly people, but they're beautiful on the inside. Your beauty doesn't come from what's on the outside. It comes from within. Now, I could say that, and you're agreeing with me, like, yeah, you know, praise the Lord. But you still trip out when you don't got your makeup on. When your hair ain't done, I'm going to have to put my wife's covers this morning. She's going to be mad. The other day, I came home from work. It was like 8 in the morning. So when I came home, she was just getting up. And I had already had worked a while. I said, love, can you please make me one of them egg sandwiches that you make? Some breakfast. I was hungry. I didn't know she just got up, but she was like, yeah. Because she's got that gentle and submissive spirit. So she's like, you know, yeah, praise the Lord. She was going to say praise the Lord, but she says, okay. She's like, but Pastor Charlie and Sister Martin, nobody better come in that kitchen because I literally just got out of bed. Because we live with Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. Nobody better come up in that kitchen and see me because I just got out of bed. I don't think no one came in the kitchen. She was like, praise the Lord. But what makes my wife so valuable is she has that gentle and quiet spirit. Amen? That's what makes us. Your worth is what's on the inside. Jesus comes to restore worth and dignity inside of your life. And we believe that God is able to make you whole. Because how many know when we get saved and we're redeemed, sometimes we're still broken. We're still missing some pieces. We still have certain areas within our lives that are still, you know, withered and shriveled, like the man with the withered hand. He had maybe things going for him, but in the New Testament, the Bible says there was a man with the withered right hand. That the rest of his body was good. But he had this one part of his body, his right hand, that was withered, that was taking away his dignity, taking away his sense of worth because he couldn't work for a living no more. But Jesus came to restore that man, right? And Jesus said to that man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and he was healed. Some of us in this room might have one area that still needs to be restored. Might have an area within our lives that still needs to be whole. That's still broken. We might be saved, yes, but we might have a broken heart for this thing that happened over here. We might be saved, but, you know, this issue is going on in your life over here. Maybe it's in your life or a family member's life. And you don't feel whole. You still feel, you know, broken. You still feel kind of, you know, troubled on the inside. See, you know how I know is because, you know, when you see people come to church and you see like a troubled look on their face. It's like the man with the withered hand. But Jesus wants to come and he wants to make you whole. He wants to restore that area within your life. Whatever it is. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your own sanity. Maybe it's whatever struggle it is. Jesus wants to restore that area. But you got to stretch out your hand. You got to stretch out that area to God and say, God, I give it to you. God, I give you this area. Jesus, because you are the restorer of broken lives. Jesus, you're able to make me whole. You're able to give me a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And a garment of praise. I said, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I think it's time for Christians, amen, for all of us to stop walking around in despair, walking around in defeat, like we ain't got the victory, like the blood don't work no more. But the blood still works. The blood is still sufficient, amen. And so Jesus has come to give us victory, to give us wholeness, to give us the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So I don't think despair has no place within your life and within my life. So when that despair tries to grip you, when that discouragement tries to grip you, when the enemy tries to grip you, you just got to put on your garment of praise and you start praising Jesus. You start giving God praise. Jesus, you're making me whole. See, you know something, we got to put that garment of praise on. No matter how you feel. And you got to just praise God. I was talking about Friday night. Praise God anyhow. Whatever is happening within your life, give them praise. Put on a garment of praise. See, we should be a people rejoicing. We should be a people celebrating because we got victory. We got salvation. We got restoration, amen? We got healing. We got deliverance. Everything that Jesus provided for us, that's good news. When you hear good news, you start to get happy on the inside. Are you happy on the inside? Or are you listening to me on the outside, but inside, there's no happiness, there's no joy, there's still trouble and turmoil. I want to let you know, Jesus is able to take your mourning and turn it into dancing. He's able to take your despair and turn it into praise. And pretty soon, you're going to be up here testifying of what God has done. That God has turned you around. Isn't that why the Bible says, weeping may endure through the night, but joy, I said joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming, church. You just got to stretch out your hands to the Lord and receive it. Receive the restoration and the wholeness that he wants to give you today. Because he's able, amen? And the work is already done. We just have to receive it. It's there for us. That's good news. And look what it goes on to say in Isaiah at the end of verse 3. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They'll be called oak of righteousness, an oak, like an oak tree. And oaks are strong trees. He didn't say, and they will be called a bush. Bush. They would call it a little fern. They would call it a little flower, delicate flower, you know, like Sanjay always says. No, he wants to make us an oak tree, solid, firm, secure, steadfast, amen, immovable. When the rains come and the storms come, we're that planting of the Lord. We're that oak. Why? Because we've been redeemed and we've been restored. Now we got strength inside of our life. Let the storms come, I'm going to stand anyhow. Let the devil come, I'm going to stand anyhow. Let the trials come, I'm going to stand anyhow. I'm going to stand. And the Bible says, after you've done everything to stand, stand some more. That's why I like when Keith says, I'm still here. You can't get rid of me. I might be struggling, but I'm still here, not going nowhere. God wants to make you strong and movable and steadfast. That the devil could throw anything at you. Yeah, it might blow you around a little bit. It might shake you up a little bit. It might knock some leaves off your tree a little bit. But it ain't gonna take the roots out the ground. Because you're rooted in Jesus. You're steadfast in Jesus. And those roots are deep and that trunk is strong. And so you ain't going nowhere. It'll shake you up, but I ain't going to pull you out. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Redeem, restore, release. Redeem, restore, release. The last portion of this scripture in verse 4 in Isaiah 61 says they, who's they? Those that have been redeemed and restored. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. They, those that have been redeemed and restored by Jesus, are the ones that will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the inner cities of the world. Too many people are looking to the government because there's problems in the inner city. Oh, we got to look to Trump, and we got to look to Obama, and we got to look to, you know, all these different people, and they're going to bring salvation to the inner cities of the world. They're going to stop the crime problem in Chicago and in Milwaukee. No, they're not. My Bible says the only ones capable of bringing a renewal and salvation to the inner cities of the world is those that have been redeemed and those that have been restored. Is that not us, Victory Outreach? Is that not you? And is that not me that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, restored to dignity and worth and destiny? It is up to you and it is up to me to restore the inner cities of the world. And after we've been redeemed and after we've been restored, it's time to be released into the harvest field to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach liberty and salvation. That's why in John 20, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And as I have, Father has sent me, I'm sending you." He wants to release us back into the inner city. What are we going to do? Now we've been redeemed and now we've been restored. Now it's our turn to be released to go back to the inner city and redeem others and restore others, right? Bring salvation, the good news. Give people their sense of worth and their sense of dignity back. And we start proclaiming to them, no matter what they look like a dirty drug addict on the street, homeless, living on the sidewalk. Man, you might be there right now, but God is able to save you and he's able to raise you up. I see you as a preacher one day. I see you taking a city one day. I see you as a businessman one day. Come on, if he did it for us, can he not do it for them? Can he not do it for all of inner city Milwaukee and every inner city around the world? As Pastor Sonny said, God has given us the inner cities of the world. Because we've been redeemed and we've been restored, it is us, according to this scripture, that will renew the ruined cities. So if the cities are desolate and devastated, whose responsibility is it to bring change? Sorry to say, but it ain't the United States government. It is the redeemed. Are there any redeemed in the house this morning? Is there any redeemed of the Lord in the house this morning? Come on, if you've been redeemed, what's that song say? Let those that are redeemed say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, say so. Amen. As the worship team makes their way this morning. Redeem, restore, and release. Where are you at? We all might fall in different places this morning. There are some of you here this morning, you're ready to be released. You still need to be redeemed. There may be some here this morning that you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus and trusted in his blood as a sacrifice for your sins. And you're still bound by sin. You're under the control of sin. And under the control of the enemy. But Jesus wants to set you free this morning. Some of you here this morning, might need an area within your life that needs to be restored. Only you and God knows what it is. Whatever that area is, God is able to restore it and bring you to a place of wholeness. Wholeness. As they start playing this song, we don't have a keyboard. Where's Bianca?